Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor. When we're out in the elements, we're in our element. And outside retail expert Cotswold Outdoor is helping more of us to get out with the right kit. Thanks also to their support, the National Trust is helping walking communities to access the UK's outside spaces. And we're working to fix 15,000 kilometres of paths and trails by 2030 for everyone to enjoy. Find your element with Cotswold Outdoor.
Being here and being able to just sit quietly and have this wonderful vision of colour and light, it was just very calming and helped me to get a sense of perspective on what lay ahead and what's going to happen to me, and to feel hopeful and sure that I would survive. Really, I don't know how I would have managed without being able to come here.
Let's get something straight. You don't have to be a gardener to enjoy being in a garden. Hi, I'm Ranger Rosie Holdsworth, and I love being outdoors, wherever that may be. For today's episode, I'm handing you over to Heather Burkett, who's Gardens and Outdoor Manager at Acorn Bank in Cumbria. She's going to find out more about how being in gardens has so many benefits. Heather's meeting Linda Stewart at Packwood in the West Midlands. Linda's a mum, a wife, a granny who's faced her fair share of challenges in life. But on three separate occasions, she credits the gardens we're visiting today with saving her. Welcome to the wild tale of green therapy, the healing power of gardens.
Just entered. Most exquisite walled garden. Masses of grasses and purple flowers really shining in the early morning light. And I can follow the path up to a big square garden full of immaculately trimmed topiary yew trees. They really are fantastic. And through years and years of pruning and trimming, you can end up with these dense, solid, sculptural objects that really add dimensions of height and grandeur to a garden. But also, what a fantastic place to play in. I can just imagine playing hide and seek in here with my kids. And speaking of hide and seek, I feel I may have a bit of a game on my hands to find Linda. But she's given me a clue to meet her by the master yew.
And just 100 metres or so through the yews, she was, of course, where she said she would be.
Hello, you must be Linda.
Oh, hi.
How lovely to meet you. I'm Heather. You're a regular visitor here.
Well, I'm here pretty much every day, Heather, actually. The first time I drove through the gates, I was instantly drawn. And I've remained very attached to Packwood over 40 years. I've moved down here in the 1970s from Newcastle. My husband got a job as a local GP. We used to come when the children were little, and they particularly liked the yew tree garden. I mean, they knew the story, you know, of Jesus and the feeding of the multitude with, what was it, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they loved the idea that these trees represented the multitudes. And the large oak, well, they used to call it the Jesus tree. They also used to love tearing around the place and playing hide and seek. But their favourite game, particularly for my son, was to tear up the pathway that leads to the top of the Jesus tree and be the first one to get to the top. So it was really part of my life as a young mother, really.
Did it feel like a second home?
Oh, absolutely. Packwood is my second home. It doesn't feel like a second home. It is my second home. So I'm here most days. Now I've got grandchildren. I spend quite a bit of time in London, but when I'm home, I come here.
But as well as turning to Packwood in her happiest times, Linda has used the garden to get through some really tough times in her life. The first when her youngest child, her son, has some devastating news in his 20s.
When he was 24, he was diagnosed with cancer. He had to have surgery in London, and he came to live at home and had chemotherapy. A diagnosis of cancer is a terrible shock to the individual and to a family. And you feel that your life's been fractured and control's been taken away from you. And you get very fearful and anxious and worried. It's like you're in a foreign country. You don't have a map to find your way around. People speak a different language, you know, about markers and blood tests. I remember coming here in the days before he started his chemotherapy. I think it's well known now, isn't it, that actually being in green spaces, being in gardens, being in nature generally, is really good for your physical health and your mental health in everyday life. But I think that it's particularly true when you're struggling with a personal crisis, a family crisis. Being in this space helped me to cope with that crisis. This garden, I think, has been in existence for centuries. And I remember thinking that women like me have probably come to this place over centuries. And they've been mothers and they would have worries and concerns. And they would come here and unburden themselves, probably. And that I was just one person in the whole sort of history of women struggling with the problems that life brings. And so it helps you to get things into perspective. It's so difficult here not to lose yourself into the landscape. And it's a very calming and restorative landscape for me.
There's something about spending time, quiet time in green spaces,
exactly,
that is it's a gentle kind of peace, isn't it?
With the
background noise of the bees buzzing and the lawnmower going in the background, that gives you something to focus on, I think.
Yes.
Allows your mind to switch off that internal monologue.
And just being silent, being quiet, it actually stills your mind.
Linda's son goes on to make a full recovery, and he's now in his 40s with a family of his own. But it isn't the only family crisis Linda is to face. Life is about to throw another diagnosis her way, and this time it's her own. As we head away from the Jesus tree and back towards the house, it becomes clear Linda turns to a different part of the garden to help her cope this time.
Packwood is a garden of many different spaces. Is there particular places here that mean more to you than others, apart from the Jesus you?
Yes, yeah. Well, particularly these borders, I think.
What I'm looking at the minute at is the golden yellow of Stipa gigantea, peppered through with purples of sages and oreganos, with a little bit of silver here and there.
Mm. I'm really impressed that you have all the botanical names. I don't. But at the height of summer, you get some vivid oranges, some bright oranges, and some reds. You get a lovely view of the borders if you sit on the benches in front of the house.
And it's this spot Linda turns to when she gets her own devastating news.
So in 2013, I was diagnosed with a brain tumour. It was affecting my speech and my vision and my balance. It had to be removed. I was comforted by the fact that the tumour was benign. So, you know, hopefully once it was out, I would be able to get on with my life. But brain surgery is a bit scary. It was a shock, you know, it was a tremendous shock. And there was, again, this sense of fear, I guess, and concern and anxiety about what lay ahead. Again, I would come to the garden and I would sit on a bench in front of the house and look at the borders. And they were just so beautiful. Being here and being able to just sit quietly and just have this wonderful vision of colour and light. It was a particularly beautiful June, as I remember. It was just, again, very calming and helped me to get a sense of perspective on what lay ahead and what was going to happen to me, and to feel hopeful and sure that I would survive. But really, I don't know how I would have managed without being able to come here and just be comforted and encouraged by the beauty of nature at Packwood.
Linda's health is boosted from simply being in a garden. But as a gardener myself, I want to find out more about the benefits of the act of gardening. So we walk through Packwood to find someone who knows about the power of gardening.
So this garden means so much to you. You love being here. Are you a gardener yourself?
I'd hesitate to say I was a gardener. I have a garden and I love my garden and I spend a lot of time in it. And I grow a lot of things in pots and at different heights. I can gain heights by putting pots up on bricks, but you know, I'm not a professional by any means.
Well, it looks like we've happily stumbled across a gardener.
I think we have. Yes.
Hello.
You must be Robin.
Yes, I'm
Robin. Hi, Robin, I'm Heather. Linda and I were just commenting on how the colours in these borders really sing and they seem to really tie into the architecture of the house as well.
They do. I really like the fact that it kind of picks out some of the more golden tones and the render of the house. If you have a look at the lead pipe work and some of the silvery colours in the wooden frames, that's also picked up in the planting as well. So we've got lots of silvery tones. So it's all kind of about bringing in what you can see around you in the wider landscape and letting that inform your planting.
It must be a wonderful place to work though.
It is. I'm really lucky to be here. I wasn't always a gardener. I used to be a primary school teacher. It feels like another lifetime really. But whilst I was in that career, I was really struggling with my mental health and that's how I kind of discovered gardening. I live in the centre of Birmingham, in a busy city, and I have a balcony. And it was whilst I was pottering about on there with a few plants that I thought, oh, I'm actually starting to feel a bit more like myself again. So I started volunteering at local gardens and did some RHS courses. And then eventually it felt like this was what I needed to do. And after some training, I got lucky and a job came up at Packwood. And it just felt like a dream come true, to be honest, to be able to work here and still kind of have a few pinch me moments now and then as well. When you're a gardener, it can feel a little bit like you've got so many jobs to do and you're focusing on getting that done and making it look great for the visitors. But it's also really important to take a step back and to just be in the space sometimes and just think, oh, look at the light on that, look at the colour of this, look at that bee. And just having those moments throughout the day, because it just feels like it's a part of you, and it feels like if you're not doing it, you just don't feel quite yourself.
Yeah. And do you feel that working in gardens now and working at Packwood supports your mental health now?
Oh, 100%, definitely. Even if it's just simple tasks like deadheading or weeding, which I personally really enjoy, it's actually quite meditative. It gives you that space to kind of just think things through and process your thoughts, and you often feel a sense of calmness, peace afterwards, and maybe you've been able to kind of work through a niggly problem in your mind or something. There's been a bit of research into it about having a certain level of complexity in the task that keeps you absorbed, but it's not so much that you're getting quite stressed and anxious about it.
Linda, does this ring a bell for you?
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about gardening being good for your mental health, which reminds me of the time after my surgery. I just rather naively thought that once it was out, and I'd just get on with my life. And I discovered that actually it wasn't like that at all. My brain was very racy and fizzy and lots of thoughts just jumbling around in my head. And I had some help from a neurologist, and we came up with a program which was largely just exactly what you were saying about being in a garden, being in a green space, and just being able to relax and be quiet, to find little places where I could be on my own. Nature has a pattern. There's a rhythm to the seasons, and there's a calmness to that process. And actually walking helped me hugely. I would, in the winter, I would pull on my wellies and just walk across the fields. And just putting one foot in front of the other was helpful, you know. It helped to calm me and to still that kind of fizzy part of my brain.
Yeah, really. I couldn't agree with you more, to be honest, about having that time outside. It feels like something that's quite vital to me. What you said really resonated with me about how you felt with your thoughts and everything kind of rushing in. That was something that I found really difficult. But when I was outside or when I was gardening, it was something changed in my brain chemistry,
absolutely,
I suppose. And
yeah.
It was like, Oh, I can take a breath and I can be me again.
As I leave Robin behind, feeling like we'd had a bit of a heart-to-heart and put the world to rights, and Linda and I head off to explore more of Packwood, I'm reminded of the calmness and peace of mind that can come from being outside.
The way you talk about this space reminds me very much of the place I work, which is Acorn Bank near Penrith. And we find, and our visitors often talk about, the sense of tranquility and serenity. It really oozes peace and quiet. And there's one place in particular that personally I feel it, and that's in the herb garden, where there's a beautiful Portuguese quince tree. We have some benches below that, and it's just a really lovely place to sit. And in 2016, we actually signed that space up to the Silent Space Project.
Silent Space is a charity, and we work with gardens that are open to the public, and we encourage them to keep an area where people can be silent. It's a little bit like the quiet carriage on a train. The people in the space are silent, but the sounds of the garden and the world beyond go on around them. I'm Liz Ware. I'm a garden writer and historian, and I'm the founder of Silent Space. So the reason we know, from a scientific point of view, that Silent Space works is because there's plenty of neuroscience to show that taking time to reflect is important. The best summary of that I've heard is by a business psychologist who says that our body and our brain is at its best if our brain is following a pattern that goes think, reflect, think, reflect. How often do we do that? The minute we have 5 minutes, we're checking our phones because we've got that pressure all the time to feel we should be doing something. Being in nature is, we know, very good for us, lowers our stress levels, our cortisol levels. But there was some research in the late 1980s, I think, came up with the idea of something called gentle or soft fascination. When we're in nature, just quietly, there's something about the fluttering of the leaves or the bird song that just distracts us a little bit. So if we were quietly in a room without any distraction, we might start to spiral down into overthinking. But when we're in nature, there's just enough of a distraction to let us reflect quietly, but also distract us a little bit from sinking downwards, which is amazing, really, isn't it? Green is good for us, but biodiversity is even better. So if you bring all these different things together, we're reflecting, we're outside, we're in a biodiverse place, it's good for us. But I would also like to say that it's good for nature. And we mustn't forget that. When we're quiet, we cause less disturbance. And then we see more, we care more.
I want to see more of Packwood's garden and countryside, potential places to sit silently.
Have you got any more places in the garden that you'd like to show me?
Well, actually, maybe just one place, Heather, and that's my secret bench. Oh. So maybe we should take a walk over there and we can sit on my bench.
So we leave the borders and the yews behind, head down a path towards the house and take a sharp left.
So we follow this yew tree hedge, and round the corner, we will find this quiet space.
And this is the space Linda sought solace in when a third huge life event was thrown her way. Except this time, it's something all of us experience.
So this is my secret bench, and I thought we could just sit on there for a while and take in the views. Do you want to have a seat?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay.
Sitting on Linda's secret bench, which won't be so secret anymore, she tells me how important this part of the garden becomes to her in March 2020.
In COVID, they removed all the benches. This one's hard to remove because it's kind of nailed down, really. I remember, you know, on the Monday, we knew that Boris Johnson was going to lock us down, and indeed he did that evening. I did find a way of regularly coming here, but walking on the footpaths around the estate and I would bring my own coffee, and I would actually sit in the bench in the churchyard, Packwood churchyard. I really missed coming into the garden, and I discovered that there was a crack in an old gate and I could actually see through to the borders. And I think we were finally allowed back into public spaces at about June. So I do remember through this crack in the door, seeing the borders coming to life. And when they finally opened the doors, honestly, I just remember crying with just joy at being able to come back into Packwood. But this bench is a place where I come when I want to be quiet and just sort of read or think. It's actually off the beaten track. Not many people come this way. So it's very quiet and very calming. My brain can still get quite racy and fizzy, and I know that I have to just distance myself from other people and sit quietly. And so this is where I come.
Linda, it's been so nice to meet you and to share your Packwood. Thank you so much for showing me around.
Well, it's been a joy.
Just before you go, tell me, are you well now?
Yes, Heather, I am. Thank you for asking. I feel very well. My life's changed hugely since the time of my diagnosis, because being granny just fills my life with joy. It is such fun. It's all the joy and none of the responsibility. It's lovely. I think it's fair to say that you never totally recover from brain surgery. You kind of learn to live with it. I just need to make sure that I have some quiet time.
Inspired by Linda's story and how she uses the garden and outdoor space at Packwood, the garden team have set aside two areas to be a silent space, including Linda's now not so secret bench. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wild Tales. If you'd like to hear more inspiring stories about being in nature, why not try listening to Nature Fix, another podcast from the National Trust. Follow Wild Tales or Nature Fix, or both, on your favourite podcast app to make sure you catch every episode as it arrives. And please do leave your ratings and reviews. We love hearing from you. See you next time.
Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor, your outside retailer and epic guides to adventure. Quick breathers, calming walks, or heart-pounding hikes, we feel better when we get out more. Find quality kit and 50 years of outdoor wisdom. Plus, National Trust supporters get 15% off walking kit in-store and online. Feel in your element, in the elements, at cotswoldoutdoor.com.